Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
So I was trying to come up with an intro for this week's episode, and I came up with two options. There's option A and option B, and I put it up on our Facebook group to see what people liked most, but I only got two responses from people trying to choose our intro, and one of them was from Ray, the other one was from George, and I don't really like George, so I guess DeRay chose.
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still.
Wow, you're like a fast little NASCAR racer getting out right past my zooming ears. I'm John Began.
I'm Nick Wood. It's funny that you mentioned zooming ears because, I mean, all we do these days is Zoom meetings, right? Is that still funny? Is that a funny joke?
I feel like I heard like a really far away, like, in my mind, but it was in an empty basement where someone was quarantining and they forgot to hit record.
That's, you know what?
That's
I just saw a press release. Hang on. Let me pull this up. Yeah. I just saw a press release. That is LaCroix's new flavor.
Mm. Okay, good. Mm.
How you doing, man? It's been, what, like 4 weeks since we've had an episode?
Yeah, something like that. Because of the pending apocalypse, we got a little preview at the end of the movie, COVID, of the future. Like, after climate change destroys everyone and storms are worse and all of everyone's houses are destroyed and all that.
Jake Gyllenhaal's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those that don't know, we put a post on our Facebook page as to why we haven't had an episode in many, many, many weeks. And it's because this little thing called a derecho came through and did a lot of damage. We literally couldn't record because a million people in Iowa were without power. Which is probably, I should look this up. What's the population of Iowa?
It was
population of Iowa is 3 million. So it was like a third of Iowa was without power. And that's because most of Iowa is rural and it hit major parts. But anyway, but then after that, like the weeks after, we were just cleaning up and we were just too tired to research and record and do anything. So we took time for ourselves to make sure that our lives were okay. But then this funny thing happened where it basically got no media coverage at all.
Yeah.
And some people on my Facebook were like, why does it even matter that we're not getting media coverage? And I'm like, it matters because, unfortunately, the media is very influential on this country. And whoever is on the news bringing in the views, that's my next rap, gets... They get the sympathy, they get the help from people. Funds.
I have a personal story in all of this.
Yeah.
Where I had a direct result of that happening because I filmed someone today. I have updates on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask you about that, but later, because we'll talk a little bit about my point to that is the reason we're doing this is because a friend of ours reached out and said, hey, how you guys doing? And we sent them a couple videos and they were like, I had no idea it was that bad because there's just no coverage of this. And I was like, well, we can't take 4 weeks off and then not talk about it.
Yeah.
So we're here. We're here to talk about a derecho. John, what the heck is a derecho?
An inland hurricane, basically.
It is, yeah. It's described as like a tornado or a land hurricane without the torque. It's just straight line winds, like a huge stream of rain, thunderstorms, and that straight line wind. And the actual criteria is wind damage, weather that causes wind damage swath of greater than 250 miles, I guess square miles. That's 400 kilometers for our smarter friends out there that use a better system. And wind gusts that are 58 miles per hour or 93 kilometers per hour or greater along much of the length of that line. And then pockets of 75 miles per hour winds or greater or 121 kilometers per hour.
Which it got a lot higher than.
Yeah. we'll get to some figures later. But like, I saw tons of articles after this happened that were like, the Midwest gets like one derecho a year. And I was like, yeah, but your criteria is 58 miles per hour. This got up to at least 114 miles per hour.
Yeah, I saw 140 in certain counties.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give a little bit of context to that later on. So you can't just be like, oh, you guys should be used to derechos. Well, we're not, because it they're never this bad. Like, we do get bad winds, but that's like the cornfields and stuff cause that. But it was nothing like this. This is, we're in unprecedented times. We're all in this together.
Wow.
Are they still making those ads?
I don't know what that was. I don't like it. I don't have TV.
So I also want to point out that the term derecho is Spanish for straight ahead, to which my boss said, who is of Mexican descent, he said, why do you guys always got to use Spanish words for everything bad? Like El Nino. there's a couple hurricanes with like Spanish sounding names.
Churro. Everybody likes churros. Right?
Quesadilla. Those things are good.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, the term was actually coined in 1888 by a physics professor at the University of Iowa.
Oh, hey.
How fitting, right?
Shout out.
But he was named Gustavus Heinrichs. And as to how these things form, they form just like any other thunderstorm. Like warm air and water vapor rise. Warm air rises. They rise up and they form clouds. And they cool down. When they cool down, they start to drop towards the earth, starting the cycle all over, which is convection. Like if you have a convection oven, that's what's happening in there. And this usually, with all these particles rubbing against each other, will lead to a thunderstorm. In the case of a derecho, when the cold air rushes back down towards the earth, it pushes more air into the center of the storm, like warm air, making it stronger. And then that downdraft can start to move like 4 to 6 miles ahead of the storm, kicking even more warm air that normally wouldn't be part of the storm system back into this thunderstorm, making it even worse. And those are called bow echoes. And you can actually, like, if you look at satellite photos of this, you can see, like, the bow echoes. It looks like the Spotify logo. But you can see, like, the parts where the storm was surging. And then as soon as this happens, once you hit the criteria that I mentioned before, you have a derecho. At least that's my super basic understanding of it. I talked about the satellite photos, but if you look at like topographical satellite pictures of this stuff, like before and after, have you seen those?
No.
They show just like the state of Iowa, obviously, but like cornfields, and it just looks like somebody swiped their hand across the map and all these things were knocked over. Like Paul Bunyan came through and started stepping over it. Like you can see all the crops just tipped over. It's creepy.
Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, I've seen plenty of things up close and personal I'm still like,
oh yeah,
recovering
from a micro view. Like there's so many old trees, especially like in the center of town where there's all these 100-year-old trees, like these maples and stuff like that. You see garages flattened. You see houses flattened. There's a reason a million people were out of power because all the power lines were torn down. Some trees took them down, or sometimes the poles just came down.
I kept saying, like, while I was driving around, because I was just so tired and sad, I was like, it's wind. I just kept saying it's wind. Like, yeah. I said to Desiree a couple times, wind did this.
Yeah.
Air did this.
Right? It's incredible. So in our case, the storm went on for like 45 minutes straight, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when the winds are going as fast as they are, like, it's also weird to see what the storm selected. I don't even know the best way to say it, but like,
yeah,
there's new trees in my neighborhood, and I looked out my window as the storm was going on, and my neighbor's tree that was planted like 5 years ago was like smacking the ground. This like 30-foot tree's like smacking the ground, and that's still standing. But the 40-year-old tree in our front yard was uprooted. There's this like 8-foot ball in diameter just in our front yard of dirt and roots because this old tree just fell over into the street.
I have the same thing with my planters. I have little $20 planters of like little flowers, mm-hmm, that are just hanging on a nail. like on a hanging kit outside. They were fine, untouched, made it through totally. And then my like 200-year-old pine tree that provided shade for my entire house. I love that tree. It was like really big. Fell over and blocked me in my driveway for 4 days. So I had to go out and look for food on a bike because I had no electricity.
Yeah. Man, there's a million stories like that, especially, this is my transition time, especially in places like Cedar Rapids. Because that seems like the storm actually like started in Nebraska and made us all the way to Indiana. But our area, like Cedar Rapids, was one of the heaviest hit. Like Des Moines got some, but most of them still had power. But like half an hour north and half an hour south were like unscathed. Like not unscathed, but they had power. They had water. They had food. They had gas. We had none of that stuff in Cedar Rapids. Yeah. When I was looking into this like a week ago, I think there's still towns like Blairstown that didn't have power at that point, like 3 weeks in. They had like a citywide generator that they had. It was like a town of 1,000 people, so it's not a lot, but because it's only 1,000 people, they're at the bottom of the list for getting help. So they have to like hook the entire city up to a generator to get this thing running. Otherwise, they're just screwed. In total, 1.9 million people across Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Nebraska were without power. The max amount of customers without power at a time was 1.4 million, but ultimately 1.9 were affected. Surprisingly, Illinois had more people without power than Iowa.
Oh, weird.
There was about 756,000 in Illinois, 585,000 in Iowa, 283,000 in Indiana, and then the rest, which was 345,000, were in other states around the area. And I know you love when I give big numbers, so I didn't even
I'm ready.
I know.
Yeah. I'm gonna be so impressed.
I didn't even bother to look into figures of this because everyone said there's somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion worth of damage, not just on homes and streets and businesses, but also crops and hogs and the main exports of and soybeans of Iowa.
Not a great way to set all the pigs free. Not like in my fantasies where I'm like
not
leading
really
them.
What you're expecting, but I. Yeah. It made me think when this happened and like you heard about the farms and stuff and there's no media coverage, it was weird to me that the first way that some people are probably going to hear that this happened is because pork prices rise.
Yeah.
Like that'll be the reason that they hear that there was damages in Iowa, is because their ham sammy costs 35 cents more. What's that?
It's weird to think about, even probably some people in Iowa, in some of those smaller untouched towns that might not know about it either.
Mm-hmm. Especially like the northwest, that sort of thing. Mm. 3.57 million acres, which again, I have no point of reference for, of corn, and 2.5 million acres of soybeans were damaged in the storm. And then as you alluded to, I think the highest measured wind was 113 miles per hour, but as I guess like the professionals, the meteorologists or storm chasers came in and looked at the damage, they estimate it probably got up to 140 miles per hour. I guess that is how we rate damage for things like tornadoes, is based on the damage it leaves behind, and the damage here was enough to give an estimate of 140 miles per hour. And again, it was sustained for 45 minutes straight. Like it wasn't just like a burst here and a burst there. It was like I was looking out my window. Mm-hmm. I woke up that morning. I didn't even know it was supposed to rain.
And yeah, we didn't get. There's actually notice about. We were supposed to get notice, but because of the type of storm, they didn't send out any alerts to a lot of people.
Yeah, like I didn't check the weather. The first I had heard that it was even raining was my boss in Seattle. Was like, hey, your sirens are going off in your area. And I was like, what? So I guess he got like a text from someone else. And then Shelby comes down. She's like, hey, you need to get off that call. Their sirens are going off. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I look out the window, and the rain is parallel to the ground.
Yeah.
It was like in Star Wars or a sci-fi movie when they're going through like hyperspeed and all the stars are straight lines. That's what it looked like looking out my window. And
yeah,
I didn't see any official measures on this, but one of my neighbors or my parents' neighbors had a rain gauge, and in that 45 minutes to an hour, we got 4 inches of rain.
Oh wow!
Which, like, on a normal rainstorm that lasts several hours, you get like 2 inches if you're lucky. You get like maybe an inch or something. 4 inches in 45 minutes.
That's unreal too. And yeah. I was actually outside during it too. I woke up because it was so loud. I kept hearing things fall. And yeah. It was just trees crushing houses and cars. Mm-hmm. But by the time I looked up, I was like, that storm's really big. And I started taking videos of it because I was just like, that's a really big storm. And yeah. Then I went outside because I saw my tree was cracked and I was so upset and like my stomach dropped. Yeah. And I wanted to make sure it didn't get more damaged. And when I went out front to look, and I turned around to go back in the house and the tree fell while I was outside underneath it.
Dude.
I was outside during it. I was under the awning though, so.
Yeah. That's dangerous. Yeah. We got incredibly lucky. Like I mentioned before, we had maybe a 40-year-old tree that was in our front yard. It fell away from the house, but it covered both lanes of the street in front of it, so like no cars could get in or out. And then we had one tree that fell off a hill onto our fence, so we just had to fix a fence. We didn't have like any roof damage, no siding or anything like that. And then you had one tree on your fence and a little bit on your car, right?
I had my car, my tree, like damage to the windows, and like rain got in places.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
All kinds of terrible stuff. I have an insurance guy coming soon too.
Yeah. That sucks.
But the main things were just the electricity being gone instantly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we threw out most of our food. We ate what we could and took over to my parents had a generator, so we took everything we could over there. But like that first day, after the rain had, well, during the rain, I went out to see, like, how the hell am I going to take care of this tree? And once the rain stopped, some of the neighbors came out with chainsaws, and we spent 4 hours just trying to make one lane down the entire road. There's probably 10 or 15 trees down, and we got them all knocked out in 4 hours or so. But there, I think there's 3 or 4 houses that are deemed unlivable on my block because they got, like, the roof was punctured, or and one, it looked totally fine, but I guess it got punctured enough, or enough shingles came off, that rain got in and started molding already. And the insurance company told them not to stay there, and they're waiting to figure out if they're just going to level the house, even though it looks like nothing happened. It was just enough that they might just have to tear it all down and start over, which
reminds
I can't
me of my
even
friend
imagine.
Polito. Yeah, I mean, I have stories later.
That's all. Well, yeah, let's get into it, man. So we'll talk about the boring stuff I've done, but you've been out on the streets. You've hit the streets. You're a regular gumshoe. That's not right. But like I've been incredibly busy just helping my family. So I cleared out the neighborhood that first day, and then the next day I went over to my parents and my parents' neighbor and my brother. And then that was like the next 3 days of work. And then we finally got the tree all the way out of my road. And then for like the next 2 weeks, we've been working on this stump. We finally got that out of a hole. And then we fixed my fence finally. But that's all I've been doing. But tell me about all the work John Vegan's been doing.
That's like, it's like if you watch the entire Harry Potter series,
mm-hmm.
and then you have like a 30-minute podcast, and I'm like, so tell me what you've been through.
Yeah,
Harry.
Tell me about the boy under the stairs.
Yeah. No, but in all honesty, there's just so much. It felt like months.
Yeah.
But I guess it all started when Desiree decided that she wanted to, like, she lost her father last year, uh-huh. and we were both very close with him. I used to take him grocery shopping and stuff.
Mr. Keem.
And we thought, well, what would happen if he were around right now still? He wouldn't have power. He wouldn't have a way to leave his house, get food. Mm-hmm. All of his food would go bad. No one would be checking on him.
Mm-hmm.
And how many other people are in that situation? So Desiree said, let's raise money for seniors. And she did a little $500 fundraiser because she wanted to help. Like, we wanted to get out of the house and do something instead of just sitting home with no electricity.
Yeah.
And
can't
of course,
get your car out. Yeah.
The first 24 hours were like just sirens and chainsaws everywhere and like chaos.
Oh, dude, it was like after it was like a war zone is what it sounded like.
Yeah. And just insane. And it, like after we caught our breath from that, like getting out, because I couldn't get out of my house. I couldn't leave with my car or anything. Mm-hmm. So all this happened after that, like the initial my entire neighborhood going down. And then finally some guy brought a chainsaw and he was helping the neighbors, but not me for a couple of days. I didn't have any way to get out. And then finally, like you were offering to come over, but you were exhausted and working on your brother's stuff. And like Desiree's friend volunteered. So he finally let us out.
Yeah.
But we started this little fundraiser, and then immediately everyone was like, yes, I know Desiree from rescuing dogs, so she's mm-hmm. trusted. So she has like her little marketing like group of folks, just like a network, not marketing. She has a network of people that can share it and help. So that kind of grew into, I think the final number was $6,000. And it was just us. Like it was just basically we would go to the senior homes and say, what do you need? And then find it or do Facebook groups and things and then share it. And I thought the most important thing was to tell people's stories. So as we kept building, it kept like, I would get an interview on KWWL, which is a big local network. Uh-huh. And then, there were like, I think I did like three or four different news stories in total. There's one in Minneapolis that did an interview that came out cool too. But it was just like it kept growing and my heart kept breaking bigger and bigger because I realized how little some of these people had. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know like what to get in depth with because there were so many interesting stories that I encountered. But I guess that's the basics.
Yeah. So you went around helping people that otherwise wouldn't have got it. So mm-hmm. You've been doing that like for 3 weeks straight, right?
Yeah, we still have stuff to do. I've made friends with it. I made friends with a senior who his community, they didn't let the he really hits his property manager and he kept doing interviews about that and he made the news for that too. We yeah. even sent interviews over to him to talk about it only because of how horrible they treated him during this. Is they say it's independent living, but there's like a 99-year-old woman who is in perfect health and fell down the stairs and broke her hip because yeah. they didn't put any lights up in the hallways and the elevators don't work and they're seniors. So they go in the hallway, they put this little dollar store battery light that died in the first couple of hours and now yeah. people are falling down the stairs. So Desiree and I went to like Dollar Tree. I probably spent like $300 in flashlights and batteries at Dollar Tree. Yeah. Just like little ones. And then we ended up getting nicer ones down the road too that weren't individual.
Yeah.
So we filled their entire place with flashlights. I became friends with Bud, who takes care of all the ladies there because he's a little bit younger. He's a bodybuilder. He helped train Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And I just go out and hang out with him now. I've been there since. I bought him groceries. And then I went back and brought him more groceries. And then I went back and just hung out.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of different places like that just had nothing. Because even him, like during this, he was so grateful. The second they got their power back, he said, I want you to go and collect all the flashlights that you gave us and take them to other people that need them. So we took them back to another senior home and we gave them more lights and doubled down because people were falling down the stairs there too.
Yeah, man, that's heartbreaking. That's like stuff that most, unfortunately, I don't even know how to phrase this, blood cells, and here the blood is the damage that everything's caused. You're not going to hear about the assisted living homes or the independent living homes or whatever that these people aren't being properly taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, they were falling down the stairs, but at least some of them were able to help each other get up and down the stairs, like Bud was there for them.
Yeah.
But there were other centers where people can't leave their bed physically because they need electrical devices to do so.
Yeah.
They were just for 3 or 4 days in the dark in their rooms, and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't get out of bed. They couldn't call for help.
Right.
So there's a bunch of stories that were coming out about that too. So there's like a silver lining of like exposing bad landlords. But then through all this, Gutschmidt Properties, do you know that in town? Have you heard Gutschmidt? So Eric Gutschmidt's a friend. He actually might come on and do an episode with us too because he's pretty worldly and he just visited Israel before there was a ban to go there now.
Yeah.
But he has a, he buys houses, fixes them up, and then sells them.
Yeah.
And he's the best landlord of all time. Like, he told everyone, hey, if you can't make your payments, don't worry. I'm going to help you guys if I can. He went out and personally knocked on all of his tenants' doors just to make sure they were all good and mm-hmm. do like a in-person check. And all he does is rip to shreds all these bad landlords and shows yeah. how easy it is to actually care about people that take care of your property. Yeah.
Well, like my next door neighbors rent their house. He only has like 20 properties. And I think it took him like 2 full weeks to come out and even look. And when he came out, he apparently hired people to like tarp up the roof and stuff and didn't even tell the tenants. They just showed up and they're like, hey, can we put this on your roof? And they're like, who are you? And like, that should be a super low bar, because then like I was telling this story to someone and they're like, oh, my buddy he's a landlord for 100 properties. And I was like, this isn't a contest, but now you've made me feel even worse about this guy who can't get to his 20 tenants.
Yeah.
So were you mostly at like these retirement homes or senior living places? Or
so those are the places that we frequented the most. I mean, a lot of it was going to Hy-Vees and grocery stores and stocking up. Mm-hmm. But then we'd also just kind of drove around and posted online and saw who needs help. And there was a Westdale Courts Apartments where there's a bunch of African refugees.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Desiree like gasped, and it was real. And I was like, what made her gasp? I turned over and someone's house was just in half. Like, it looked like a dollhouse.
Bifurcated.
Yeah. But all their furniture was still standing there. It was like a weird,
that's creepy
thing. Yeah. So all their kitchen table and chairs were just out, like as if they were on the roof, but the second floor is now the roof.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to that guy. His name is Prince. And I have a story about him.
Well, go tell me about Prince. Well, I was just going to say, is that the weirdest or the most shocking thing you saw?
That was one of them. Another was this, there's a truck that looked like the tree hit it so hard, and it was just a metal, like industrial, like almost like a 16 wheeler, but tiny, like a moving truck. And it was just flat. Like, it looked like someone crumpled a Rubik's cube.
Yeah. It's just
and put a tree in the middle. Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, there was just like, I mean, I guess the most shocking thing that I heard in all of this was, Desiree's stepdad heard, he was driving home during it, or like he was about to head home, and he got pulled over on the side of the road. There was a motorcycle or a bicyclist, that's what it was, and he said, can you help me move this tree off this guy? And he moved the tree off of this guy who just got crushed by a tree in the road. He was out trying to get back home while it was happening, and the guy was dead. He felt his pulse, and the guy didn't make it.
That's bad.
And I was like, I feel like I heard that on the news, or, you know, from rumors online with people sharing stories about the storm. But the fact that it was her stepdad directly involved with it, like, I got to hear him tell me that from his own mouth.
Yeah.
Was kind of creepy through all this.
It's like it was like the apocalypse for a week and a day. Yeah.
But Prince, I mean, I guess if I go back to his bigger story was him talking about, he didn't want to do an interview. He's like, what is that going to do? How is that going to help? Yeah. I can't think. My brain doesn't. And he doesn't speak very fluent English, because he's, I forget what country he's from. I think he sent it to me because we're Facebook friends. But he is, just like, he was upset about it. And I said, if we get you views, if I help people tell your story about what you saw and what happened, I can try to get you help. Mm-hmm. I can post it online. So he agreed to do a little interview. And then he ended up talking to me about how, like, he has a little girl, like a 3-year-old, who is downstairs while his house is being split in two. Mm-hmm. It was just awful. And I walked around with him, and I'll probably post that in the group too. I was thinking of making it like a super cut of just every video I made. Just put it all in one video.
Do it.
But
it'd be good for people to see.
Yeah. So, I mean, then like, we told him we'd get him help, and I promised I'd follow up with him, and I did. And we got other people sent out to him. He got food, he got supplies. He shared his PayPal, and I helped share that with people. Today I got a message that a friend of a friend sent him $200 to buy new furniture. Like, so he's got furniture, he's got food. Like, every day someone's checking in with him and making sure he's good. But then across the street, I get a message, because I add them so that I could talk to them. And then I get a message that says, they're lying, they didn't really get their stuff stolen. Those people that live across the street, they live across the street from me, they didn't really need this help. And it was like this desperation that this person was saying, no, you're giving them attention, and then they're going and they're keeping all the stuff. And I was like, there's no leadership here.
Yeah.
And even though, like, I was like, okay, well, what do you need? So I focused the energy away from being negative, because there's a lot of infighting over there, because there's no one to distribute supplies. And instead, I asked her, and she takes care of the children, and she showed me pictures of the kids and stuff, and helped share that. And then she ended up being really cool too. Her name was Christy, and I became friends with her on Facebook, where we were like, I would send people to go bring them supplies. She has an autistic daughter who is used to being on her iPad all the time and didn't have that, so that was very hard for 11 days. Yeah. And then also not having a place to live, like, and the Red Cross was supposed to help, but they didn't show up for a couple of days, and then they were like having little tents in parking lots handing out water bottles. They weren't providing shelter for people, and it was so frustrating to be exhausted and like my body physically ached.
And
being grateful to help people and see people that needed so much more help, but at the same time, like, then go home and people say, oh wow, look at these people picking themselves up by their bootstraps and helping their community. Well, that's what you pay taxes for too. Like, and then people will get mad, don't make this political. Well, that's why you pay taxes, to get taken care of. So that we don't have to do this stuff and use our own resources when we're already unemployed and don't have funds to fix our own homes or anything.
So, because we're in the middle of a freaking pandemic on top of all of this.
A pandemic, a recession, a depression.
It's a lot to circle back around to, like, politicizing it. The mayor of Cedar Rapids got a lot of backlash because on day like four, people were like, where, when the flood came through in 2008, FEMA was here like the next day. The National Guard was here the next day. We're on day four. Where are they? And he's like, oh, well, I didn't think we needed them, so I just haven't asked them to come yet. Basically is what he said. I might be paraphrasing a little bit. And I told Shelby, like, that's the end of his political career. He's like, well, what are they going to do? It's like, they'll provide supplies and stuff. It's like, yeah, but there's so much traffic in here because all the streetlights are down. They could be directing traffic. They could be transporting people. They could be doing wellness checks. They can be doing...
Knocked,
they can have charge
door.
Stations so people can charge their phones and communicate their, to
I still
their loved
think
ones.
People definitely died from being trapped in their homes, for sure. It just hasn't been covered. I don't think that's been explored yet, or the data's come out.
Yeah, well, I think that's hard to explore because, like, how many deaths were there because people couldn't call someone, or they didn't have a phone with a charge because no one expected this to happen, or... How many traffic accidents? Like, my brother got into a car accident the day that this happened because someone was just being an idiot in a parking lot and weren't there paying attention to other stuff and hit him, you know? How do you even get numbers for all that? But that's why I'm saying, like, you can't just be like, oh, we don't need... We're Cedar Rapids. We're strong. We could do this.
If you put hashtag Iowa strong, that means I believe in you. Now go fucking take... care of each other. Excuse my language.
Do it yourself, damn it. It's incredibly frustrating. If that guy lasts another term,
he will.
What's his name?
He'll be president. There's no justice in the world anymore, Nick.
That's true. You are right about that. But then there's like Beth Malicki on KCRG News. She's part of the news industry, so she knows how it works. She was desperately trying to get any sort of media attention on Twitter, like get into the right places. And people were like, I don't care what her political beliefs are. I'm voting her because she's done more for Iowans in the last week than our mayor's ever done.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, take the wins where you can get them, right?
Yeah.
Got any other heartbreaking stories for me, John?
I mean, it was just such a long week. It's so weird not having... And then going home every night and not having... Like, I had hot water,
too.
But I didn't have much else, And so it's just to see the people that took care of us while we were out helping other people was helpful.
Yeah.
Like, my friend Jeremiah just gave me his grill, his nice big grill. And brought new propane. I had to, like, open it to set it up. and then Delia would come over and... bring me her extra purple carrot meals and then cook for me and ask me to pick it up. And someone gave us a generator at for the rescue. They donated it. Like, just people clearing the driveway, coming over and bringing chainsaws. There's so many people that helped each other, and it's a weird thing that you're proud of them, and you could be both things at the same time, and people usually consider it black or white. Like, either there's a gray area where I'm proud of my community, and I wish we didn't have to do any of that. I wish we were taken care of.
Right. I it's weird. Like I said, you got to take the wins where you can get them. But now I know all of my neighbors' names.
Yeah.
I know Stacy and Cato. I know Nancy and Char and Steph. And
didn't we have a rule like in episode 2 of Stranger Still, no doxing? I don't remember if we talked about that.
We said enough names. It's just we like when we didn't have any power. I think we still didn't have power. Maybe we did have power at that point. We had a, and before the burn ban was put into place, because this place is a tinderbox, some of my neighbors just had a fire pit on their driveway and invited all the neighbors over to have s'mores and drink some alcohol. Because literally everyone on this block came out and was trying to clear as much as we could. Like, it didn't matter. We're just like, hey, do you need pictures for insurance? You got them? Good. We're going to cut this tree now. Are you good with that? Yeah? All right. Yeah. So... We are Iowa strong. We do have a strong community, but could have gone a lot smoother.
Yeah. I mean, I was with my neighbor with an axe walking around the street. My shoulder hurt the next day. I couldn't remember why. It's because I had an axe on it the whole day before while I was walking around. This grandma was on my street with her oxygen tank. I was like, I don't know if I could get to my house. And her house was like crushed by a tree when she got there. And
yeah,
couldn't get in her driveway. It was just crazy.
It is crazy. It's going to take months to clean this up. And like my mom was like, is it weird not having that tree in your front yard? And I was like, there's so much, like my curb is piled like 5 feet of trees.
Yeah.
I can't even think about the tree in my front yard because there's still so much crap on my lawn.
Yeah. It's gonna look a lot weirder
away.
Yeah, same here with that big pine tree that's like open. You've seen it now too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't been to your place since.
Yeah, make it happen, Captain.
One day we'll start doing like another in-person Stranger Still.
Someday.
Yeah.
Well, should we take a quick break and we'll come back and shamelessly plug our own crap?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
All right. John, we have a new review.
Oh boy. Wow, we've been begging for that for months, Nick.
I know. It's been like almost a year since we've had a review. It's very long, so I'm going to try to read it. As quickly as I can. I don't want to take up too much more of anyone's time. This review is from August 8th from Funny Rich. It is 5 stars.
Oh, the minimum requirement.
Yep, exactly. It's titled Always a Good Listen. And Funny Rich said, keep it up.
Oh,
that's it. Thank you, Funny Rich.
Amazing.
Thank you for your 5-star review. And if you, too, out there would like to review us, we'll read it on the air.
If you put an impression or a voice you wanted to read us in, or any of that stuff, if you want to sing it.
We totally won't do it.
Hey, I will.
If you want John to do his New York accent.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
You sound just like me.
I think I mentioned before, I just discovered we could possibly have reviews internationally. And I figured out how to read those. So I'm gonna try to get to the bottom of this maybe next week. If you want to support the show, John, where can people do that?
You can go to our newish StrangerStillShow.com, or newly to be new.
It'll be new soon. Like, we have show notes on there. We have links to all of our stuff. You can also go to patreon.com/StrangerStill. We're reigniting it.
Yeah. We're going to spice this marriage up.
Yeah. So we got like an exclusive Discord server for patrons. So we'll use that to like do polls and see what topics you guys want and just have general discussions and hang out in there. There's also bonus episodes. So for September, we had a little teaser of an upcoming project that you could kick a few bucks our way and then get to hear about that from the horse's mouth. I'm just saying. And then if you give us enough of your hard-earned cash, we'll send you a t-shirt that John designed. So,
oh yeah,
check it out. Look into it. See if it's something that you might want to partake in. No pressure, but...
A little bit.
Just an
smidgen.
Appropriate amount.
I'd say a smidgen is always an appropriate amount.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Do we have anything else to talk about? Is there anyone out there that still needs help, John, that...
Well, everything that we got done is... what you could do locally. Like, we could bring each other food. We could bring each other batteries. We can make sure that your trees are off your lawn. But everything that's not being helped and not being covered should be done federally and locally by the state. Like, we still have trees in our yards. Mm-hmm. So it's like everybody still needs help, a ton of help. And we need federal funding, and we need individual assistance, and we need our insurance companies to get to work. So that's where we're at now. It's like past what you could do locally on a personal level.
And it's always a good reminder to make sure you check the batteries in your flashlight. Maybe consider getting a generator, get a chainsaw.
Or go to the dollar store and spend $200 on AAAs.
Yeah. Because you never know. You might wake up thinking it's not going to rain, and then there's a tree on your house. So,
I guess so. I guess that's the world we live in now. And it's only going to get harsher with climate change. So
I know. That's maybe next week we'll talk about climate change. No, next week we're going to talk about something happy. And our listeners will get to choose what that happy topic is by going to our Facebook or donating to our Patreon.
All right. Pretty mysterious. I wonder which one they'll pick. The free option?
Less than free one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Still Strange.